If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Psalms chapter 118. Now, this month we've been talking about celebrating Christmas, and Psalms 118 sounds like it's way off from what the Christmas passages of the Bible are, because normally it's Matthew or Luke are the two really biggest passages about the Christmas story. But this morning we're going to learn a little bit from Psalm chapter 118 and connect it with the Christmas story, because I think it has a lot to do with it, at least in a way that we can apply it for today. We've been learning throughout the last few weeks that we celebrate Christmas, but what exactly do we celebrate? And we've learned that we celebrate the goodness of God and the greatness of God and the guarantees of God. We've talked about who exactly we celebrate, and we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and we celebrate that it's His coming to this earth. That's what we're celebrating. It's not really the gifts and the Santa Claus and the Christmas trees, but it's Him. It's Jesus. And then how we celebrate it, we talked about that last week, how we can celebrate through singing, how you can celebrate through taking time with Him. And so exactly how you celebrate, we've learned. But this morning, I want to talk about when we celebrate Christmas. Now, if you saw the notes this morning, by the way, if you need the notes and you didn't receive them when you're coming in, but you need some notes, the ushers have them in the back, so you can just raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. And that way you can follow along as we study God's Word together. And when you get your notes, you'll see there's usually the title on the top of the notes of the message. And if you saw it before, you would have seen it said, when we celebrate Christmas, and you're going to think, this is going to be the shortest message ever. Right? I mean, December 25th, we're out of here. Let's pray. We're done. That's pretty simple, easy question to answer. And it is. It is a very easy question to answer. But you know, there's more than just one answer. And I always loved tests in school when there was more than one answer that the teacher would accept. You ever had one of those tests? You know, it was like answer your own, you know, your own way. And it's like, yes. You know, questions on tests that were bonus questions. Anybody have one of those teachers that was like, write what you did this summer for an extra 10 points? Great, this is awesome. Yeah, this is a test I can pass. If you saw the question this morning or the title of the message, you might have thought that way. But I want to give you a different way of looking at Christmas this morning, one that I hope will be an encouragement to you as we study God's Word and as you go through the Christmas season in this last week. Psalm chapter 118, we're going to start there. Look at verse number 24. We're just going to look at one verse and then jump right in. Psalm 118 and verse number 24. It says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Such a simple verse, such an easy verse. In fact, there's a song that a lot of the kids sing if you grew up in church. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. And it's just a fun song to sing, and it's a very simple verse, but it has a great truth. Have you ever noticed how in the Bible some of the shortest and smallest verses have some of the biggest truths? Sometimes some verse as small as God is love, like 1 John chapter 5 talks about, just a short verse, God is love, but it says so much. It teaches us so much. I think this morning, as we study this verse, you'll find that it does have a lot to teach us when it comes to Christmas. But before we dive into that, let's go ahead and pray and ask God to bless this time as we study His Word. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house. Truly, there's no better place to be. There's truly no better thing to do on a Sunday morning than just pausing and seeing what your Word says and allowing it to speak to us. And this morning, that's what we want. We want you to speak to us, Father. We want you to, by the moving of your Spirit, by the filling of your Spirit, to lead us and guide us. And we want to take time to grow in our walk with you. And so, Father, as we study your Word, we ask, first of all, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would fill me as the speaker this morning, that I might share what you've laid on my heart, and that it would be an encouragement and a help to us this morning. And then I pray that you'd be with each and every one of us as we hear your Word, to not be hearers only, but to receive your Word, to be doers of your word, to apply it and actually live it out and allow it to change us to be more like you, to draw us closer to you. So I pray that you would do that even this morning as we study. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, during the Christmas season, one of my favorite cartoons to watch is one that's on Disney Plus. And so if you're of a certain age group, you know exactly what app or what I'm talking about when I say Disney Plus. It's on the Disney Plus channel or app, and it's the cartoon that's called Once Upon a Christmas with Mickey, or Once Upon Mickey's Christmas. It's titled one of those two. And it's got three short stories, and if you've ever seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But in the first little story cartoon that it has, it starts with Donald Duck, one of the favorite characters if you're a Disney fan. Donald Duck, and he's got his three nephews, Louie, Dewey, and Huey, I think are the three, and they wake up on Christmas morning, and they start celebrating Christmas. First, Donald goes into the kitchen, starts cooking, you know, bacon and eggs and the whole breakfast. And the boys come in. They're just excited. It's Christmas. They can't wait. They don't even stop and thank Uncle Donald for making the food. They just, you know, chow down, right? And he gets onto them for not really pausing and you know, saying thank you for the food. And then the next scene, they go and they're trying to kind of clean up, although they kind of leave it all to their Uncle Donald. And in the next scene, they're getting ready for the day, and family starts to come over, and they answer the door, and it's Uncle Scrooge, and he's got I can't remember the big duck lady's name that was the like the nanny or whatever, and so she's there, and Daffy Duck also comes out, and so they give him hugs and they kind of celebrate and sing a little bit, but not really. They're just can't wait. At least the three boys, they just can't wait to get their gifts. And in fact, before it's even time to open the gifts, they jump in and they start opening the gifts. And then, of course, Uncle Donald again gets onto them. I can't believe you're doing this. And, you know, it's Christmas. And then, as every, you know, good husband, he gets scolded by his lovely wife that's like, you should let them have fun. This is their Christmas day. Daffy's there in his ear. And, you know, okay. And he feels bad. And then at the end of the night, they sing some Christmas carols. They light the tree. And they go to bed. Well, once Huey, Louie, and Dewey are in their room, suddenly, right across the window, flashes a shooting star. They're so excited. I mean, they are excited about the day that they just had in Christmas, and they thought, well, there's a shooting star. We can make a wish. Let's make a wish. Guess what they wish for? They wish every day would be Christmas. And suddenly, the next day, it's Christmas. They're so surprised. Of course, it's the same gifts. It's the same breakfast. It's just the same day playing over and over and over again. But what's funny about that little cartoon is that as the next day comes, they don't enjoy it as much. Then the next day comes, and they don't enjoy it as much. And then the next one comes, and they don't enjoy it as much. And each time, they'll take, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. They'll go through that day, and it seems like they just get more and more selfish. That next day, they're throwing the food. That next day, they start breaking the toys, and they start pranking everyone that's coming for the Christmas celebration. And it's just a day where, as they go on every time, it's get worse and worse. Until finally, near the end of the little cartoon story there, they decide, you know, tomorrow, let's do something different. They felt so bad about pranking. They felt so bad about being so selfish on Christmas Day. They said, you know what, we should be kind and loving. Let's try that tomorrow. And the next day, they wake up and they actually beat their Uncle Donald to the kitchen, and they actually make breakfast for him. And then they start complimenting everybody that's coming, and Uncle Scrooge, and giving them big hugs. And they start singing the Christmas carols, and they're excited. They're not just singing to get through it. I mean, they're singing because they really love it. And then they, instead of going and opening their gifts, they actually made a boat, a nice gift for their Uncle Donald. And at the end, they're all singing, all hugging, all just having a great time. And then sadly, they wake up the next day and it's over. It's December. Sorry, the battery's already gone. Yes, just give me a mic here.
It's working now.
Yeah, but it's blinking. It's about to. All right. right, and it's off again. All right, well. You're going to turn the battery. Okay, great. Well, while they change the batteries, I'll move on to another story that's more interesting to those in the back. I'm just joking. So what happens? They finally get through that Christmas. But I was thinking as I was watching that cartoon, it made me think, what if every day was Christmas? Is it even possible to make every day Christmas? And I started thinking about this verse in Psalm 118 and verse number 24. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What would it look like to celebrate Christmas every day? Is it even possible? Would you even want to? And if you did, and I certainly, listen, Christmas is my favorite time of the year. This morning at 8, I had to preach the morning service, the first service, and I was telling them, I said, listen, I got to be honest. I was telling the crowd then. I said, I like my birthday. It's okay. I can do without it sometimes. I like 4th of July. It's a lot of fun doing the fireworks and, you know, wearing the red, white, and blue. But Christmas is my favorite. I mean, it is my absolute favorite. It's not like even close. Like every other celebration, it just doesn't compare. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's the Christmas carols, the gifts. Thank you. The gifts, the everything. It's just there's something about Christmas that makes it awesome. So if you were to ask me, do you want to do Christmas every day? I'd say yes, absolutely. I love Christmas. But how would we do that? How can you really do Christmas every day? What would that look like? Well, as we study this verse and as we think about the Christmas story, I think there are three ways that if you really wanted to make Christmas something that you celebrate every day, you can do. Something that I think will bring you the same joy that you get. Well, I always get joyful on the 25th. Listen, you can get joyful on the 26th as well. You don't have to be like Huey, Dewey, and Louie that only the 25th can they be happy. No, no, the 26th you can be, and the 27th, and New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day, and the rest of the year you can be. You can have Christmas every day if you want. But how do we do that? I want to give you three ways from the Christmas story of how they were able to do it in that day when they didn't have the Christmas trees and they didn't have the Christmas carols, and yet they were happy and they were joyful and they celebrated. How did they do it and how we can do it? What are the ways of when we can celebrate Christmas? I want to talk about that first of all. I want you to notice in your notes, make today a day for worship. If you're going to celebrate Christmas, when are we going to celebrate? We can do it every day, but how can we do it every day? Number one, you got to decide to make today a day for worship. You know, every time that we wake up to another day, it's an opportunity to worship God. It's an opportunity to ascribe worth to God, to tell him how worthy he is. It's a time of worship. Now, when we do this, how can we do that? How do we worship God every day? Well, one way to do that, the Bible teaches us, is by spending time in his word. In fact, what we're doing right now, just talking about what does the Bible say, is actually worship. This is a time where we're going to pause on this Sunday morning and ascribe worth to God and say, God is worthy. God deserves my praise. God deserves me taking time to thank him, to think about him, to bow down to him, to sing to him. God is worthy of all worship. And that starts by spending time in his word. Now, in the Christmas story, if you know the Christmas story and if you've read Luke chapter 2, you know that after Jesus was born, about 8 days after, they take him to the temple. And there was a man there by the name of Simeon. And Simeon was of old age. He was near the end of his life. But the Holy Spirit had told him, you're not going to die before you see the Son of God, before you see the Messiah in the flesh. And he was so excited. He was longing and looking for that day, that when that day comes, you'll notice in Luke chapter number 2 that he begins to quote scripture. He begins to share some of what the Old Testament, what the Bible had said about this Messiah. And he tells Mary and Joseph, this is what I know, this is what God's word has said about him. You look at Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, there in Luke chapter 1. I put it in your notes in verse number 68. As soon as he knows about Jesus' birth, that Jesus is the promised Messiah that's coming, you know what Zechariah starts doing? They were asking him, hey, your son, by the way, his name was going to be John. They said, what are you going to name your son? And he said, John. And suddenly, he could speak when after for many months, because of his unbelief, he couldn't speak. Suddenly, God gives him, the Bible says he loosens his tongue, and now he can speak. And what does he speak? God's word. Look in verse number 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Right off the bat, he said, man, these are some of my first words. I haven't spoken in more than 9 months, in 9 months. And suddenly, the words that he wants to speak are the words of God. He wants to take time to worship God. You know that it's impossible to worship a God that you don't know? It's impossible. Because worship, in its very definition, means to ascribe worth to something. That's the most basic definition of worship. And if that means to ascribe worth, how can you ascribe worth to someone you don't know? How can you? It's like congratulating somebody that you've never met. How can you congratulate them? You get to at least meet them. You got to communicate somehow with them to congratulate them. It's impossible to worship a God that we don't know. That's why it's so important to be in God's word. To be in the presence of God with him. Because why? That helps us in our worship. I love what Jesus told. There was a woman there at the well of Samaria that came to Jesus and began to speak to Jesus. And Jesus began to speak to her and reveal to her that he was the Son of God. And it's interesting what he tells her. Because being a woman from Samaria, they didn't go down to Jerusalem to worship. In fact, they would go there in the land of Samaria to their own temples to worship. And so Jesus, talking to her about that, she began to say, well, you're a Jew, you shouldn't even be talking to me. Jews and Samaritans did not get along. There was a racial divide there. And she said, I can't even believe you're talking to me. And then they started talking about religious things, about God. And Jesus begins to reveal to her who he is. But it's interesting what he tells her. One of the things he tells her, and I put that in your notes, he says to her, ye worship, ye know not what. We know, as Jews, what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, he said, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for this Father seeketh such to worship him. You know, this morning what we're doing when we open God's word and when we spend time to meditate on what God's word says, you know what we're doing? We're worshiping. Exactly what Jesus said. You see, there's going to be a time, he said, it's not going to be about where you're at. It's not going to be, are you in Jerusalem? Are you in Samaria? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what mountain. No, he said, anywhere you're at, you can worship God because you worship God in spirit and in truth. See, that's what the word of God does. It helps us to know him, to worship him. But then, as you're making today a day of worship, you spend time in God's word, but then spend time giving to God. Worship and giving are always connected. I've said that before, and I'll continue to say it because it's true. Worship and giving are always connected. Almost every time that you find the word worship in the Bible, you'll find that they were doing something of giving. Whether it was giving of a sacrifice, whether it was just giving of an offering, whether it was giving of something, of their time, of what they had, their possessions. Listen, anytime you find worship, you'll find that there was something being given to God. And there's nothing really that can give you more joy in life than when you give to God. It really isn't. I mean, listen, if you've ever given to God, you know what I'm talking about. If you've never given to God, let me tell you, you're missing out on the greatest joy of life. You really are. I mean, there's just something about giving to God that excites you. There's something that it just fills your heart and your soul like nothing else can do. I don't even know how I can describe it. It's that kind of joy. There's just something about giving to God that does that. whether it's your time, whether it's your talents, or whether it's your money. I mean, whatever it is that you're giving to God, man, there's something about it that he gives you joy, an unspeakable joy, an unexplainable joy, an indescribable joy in just this of worship and this of giving. I love that in the Christmas story, it talks about the three kings, right? The magi that went to look for Christ. What did they do when they found him? Matthew 2:11 says, "And when they saw the child, they fell down and worshiped him." And here's the connection. As they were worshiping him, and it says, "And then they opened up." Look at verse 11. "And they opened their treasures, and they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." It's amazing. That's what they said, "Listen, we're going to worship you." They fell down, they bowed down, they worshiped him. But you know, in that worship, they said, "We got to give him." Because giving is just that. It's worship. How do you celebrate Christmas every day? I thought Christmas is only on December 25th. No, my friend. Listen, Christmas every day when you make a decision to say, "Today, I'm going to worship." See, today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I can rejoice on Christmas getting gifts, absolutely. But you can rejoice on the day after Christmas giving gifts too. It's something that we can do. I was born in 1983. But I'm told, I believe there are pictures, that on January 20th of 1981, hostages were released from Iran. If you know a little bit of history, you know that the embassy there in Iran was overrun. They held all the people that were in there hostage, and I think it was over 300 and something days that they were held hostage. And on the day that President Ronald Reagan was going to be inaugurated, they were let go. And they said that when they got off the plane, they got off and immediately fell to their knees and kissed the ground. And I thought, wow. I mean, the ground that people had already stepped on. Ground that wasn't like really clean and washed down. It was not COVID-19 approved. You know what I mean? It was just like not. But they were kissing the ground. Why were they kissing the ground? Because they knew where they had been. We've been over there, hostages. Thought we were going to die, and suddenly we come back to our country where there's freedom, and it's awesome, and it's just amazing. You know why many times we can't celebrate Christmas every day? Because we don't choose that day to worship. Because we forget where God brought us from. And instead of bowing down like they did and said, "Wow, it's awesome to be in America. Wow, the freedom. Wow, the joy." Instead of saying, "I got to bow down to God and say, man, God's been good to me. Man, he is worthy of all worship." Instead of doing that, we forget all about it. And just like that, we don't celebrate. I'm simply sharing this morning, hey, if you want to celebrate Christmas every day, I would want to. But if you're going to, you got to make a decision today to say, today's going to be a day in which I'm going to worship. But secondly, I find that not only do you need to make today a day to worship, but also a day of praising. You see, another great truth that we see in the Christmas story is that of praising God. When we praise God, we are literally expressing our admiration. One is to ascribe worthiness to him. The other is admiration for him. It's a form of thankfulness. And you can look this up on Google if you don't believe me. Look at the definition for praise. That's what it means. To express some admiration, some thankfulness to someone. You say, well, how do we do that for God? I'll tell you. You got to praise God for his gifts and his blessings. Do you know when the angel came and told Mary, "Mary, you're going to be with child. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And the child that you're going to bear, his name's going to be Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us." You know what she did? You can read it in Luke chapter 1. She started praising God. "My soul doth magnify the Lord," she said. That was her first words. She began to praise God. She wasn't bitter. She wasn't mad. She wasn't sad. No, no, no. She was ready to sing. You know, when the angel came to the shepherds that night and said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You shall find him. You find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And immediately there was a host of angels praising God. Listen, just read through the Christmas story. You'll find praise after praise after praise. In fact, there was a prophetess by the name of Anna, who was probably the same age or around there with Simeon. She had been at least over 90 years old, at least, according to the word of God. And there she was at the temple when she saw the baby. I put this in your notes in Luke 2:38. "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Man, I'm telling you, that first Christmas praise was all about it. They didn't say, "Oh, Jesus is here, but you're here a little bit early." They didn't say, "Hey, he's here, but you're a little bit late. I mean, we were supposed to celebrate a week ago. I mean, you're 8 days old. Can we still celebrate that Anna was? Simeon was?" They were saying, "Yes, you can celebrate." Why? Because you can make a decision today to say, "I'm going to praise God." That's what Christmas is all about. That's what the celebration is all about. Celebrating God's gifts and God's blessings. Just taking time to thank him. Let me ask you something. You'd probably agree with me, but 2020 is terrible. It really is. There's a lot of things that just have happened this year that you say, "Man, I never thought that would happen." But let me ask you something. Have you stopped to thank God for 2020? So how can I thank God for 2020? I mean, Pastor, do you realize what you're talking about? I do. Because, you know, in the midst of this pandemic, God has still given us gifts and blessings. And I've met people I've never met before until 2020. People that may have never come to this church if it wasn't for a pandemic. I've seen God's hand move and provide for people that I never would have seen before if there wasn't a pandemic. It's amazing, but if it wasn't for a pandemic, listen, would you value a hug as much as you do now? Honestly. I mean, hugs were things that we just do to, you know, it's like a formality. But no, 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 now it's like, wow. There's something about that. Did you ever think you'd enjoy a restaurant until 2020? It's like, wow, you've enjoyed restaurants before, but I mean, McDonald's was awesome now, you know? It's just somewhere to go out, somewhere to be. Listen, all these things that we've been gifted, listen, for years. But I wonder, how many times did we even thank God if there's someone I can talk to, someone I can hug, someone that's there for me, someone I can go out with, somewhere to go? But in a pandemic, you can. You're simply saying, just make a decision. I want to thank God for the gifts and the blessings that he has given me. That's why the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord," because he was already counting. Look at his gifts. Look at his blessings. But then also praising God for his goodness and his being. Do you know, so many times, if we're not careful, our praise can just be about what God is doing, but never just who he is. Have you ever stopped and just to think about who God is? When I was younger, I still like it today, and I still feel like I'm young. 37 is young. I love the stories of like Hercules and the Iliad, you know. But you know that a lot of these, and you look at history, a lot of these gods in these stories were gods that people actually used to worship. And you'd find that even in the Greek mind and in the Roman mind, these gods were, man, they take their anger out. If you didn't please them, if you didn't do exactly what they believe, the God of whatever is going to come back and haunt me. He's going to hurt me. And so they would create these idols that were to represent them. And by the way, people back then, I know people sometimes have this idea, well, the cavemen, they worshiped rocks and stones. The reason they put a rock and stone is they believe that the greater power was embodied in that rock and stone. It wasn't that they thought rocks had power. They just thought, no, that this represents a greater power, and they would worship that. And that's why the prophets used to make fun of them. Man, you're falling to the feet of eyes that cannot see. It's just a stone. Oh, no, but it represents something greater. And the prophets would say, yeah, it represents a false god, a mean god, a terrible god. But you ever thought about just the God of the Bible? Do you know that God is a selfless God? It's amazing. The Bible says he lets sunshine come up on everybody. Those that curse him and those that don't. You know, he lets rain fall all over the earth so that people can have food. Those that like him and those that hate him. Those that follow him and those that have run away from him. Because God is selfless. That's a pretty amazing thing. You look at the gods of this world, and they always want to be gods that are portrayed as revenge coming upon you. But not God. Not the one true God. He makes sure that everyone has what they need. You know, God is not only selfless, he's faithful. God doesn't stop being faithful to you when you're unfaithful to him. I'm so glad for that. God doesn't just take away your breath. Doesn't give you a heart attack every time you mess up. Because God ain't like that. God's faithful. God still gives you strength to go to work every day. And a mind that's working. And eyes that can see. And a mouth that can speak. And ears that can hear. And you say, man, God has been good. Because he is. Because he's faithful. He's that kind of God. He's a God that is powerful. It's a really small verse in the Bible. Luke chapter 1 verse 37. I put it in your notes. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That's a great verse. You know why? Because when you're facing a 2020 year like the way we're facing it, it's good to know that God can do all things. God can keep me safe. God can heal me if I get sick. God can provide for me when I have nothing. It's just amazing who God is. Let me just say, when it comes to praising God, when you make a decision, I want to praise God, I want to celebrate him, just remember, I also want to celebrate just who he is, period. He's amazing. There is no God like him. There's no problem that's too great for him. There's no sin that's too big that he ain't going to forgive you for. There's nothing that you can do. You can't run away far enough that he won't take you back. That's who the God of the Bible is. That's why we ought to praise him. Because if there's anyone that we ought to admire, it's God that can do that. I've known of fathers that won't even do that with their sons. But God will. It's amazing when you think about praising God. It ought to be something real, something big. It ought to be something that we do with all of our heart. Don't be like the man I heard about, this man that had a horse, and he was a religious man, but he was also a horse trainer, and he thought, man, I really want to train this horse, but as I train him, I want to do something that would connect people, let them know that I'm a man of faith. And so he said, you know, I'm going to train this horse to go on different kinds of commands. He said, for instance, I'm not going to just say, let's go, for the horse to go. He said, no, I'm going to tell him, praise the Lord. When I say praise the Lord, I want this horse to just take off running. So he worked with him. Days, weeks, months. Praise the Lord. And kick the horse so the horse would go. Praise the Lord. Horse would go. The next day, praise the Lord, and the horse would go. And he just finally trained that horse. As soon as that horse would hear, praise the Lord, boom, it was gone. Then he said, okay, now what am I going to do for stopping? I don't want to just say stop or halt or something. He said, I got to do something. He said, you know what? Hallelujah. That's a great word. He said, as soon as I say hallelujah, get on the reins and put that horse back, and he's going to start learning hallelujah. And soon enough, he did that, and the horse learned. Hallelujah meant stop. It got to the point where he didn't even have to be on the horse. If he was just standing right by the corral or outside the barn, and he told the horse, praise the Lord, that horse would take off running. He didn't even have to be on the horse. The horse already knew. And he'd say, hallelujah, and that horse would just stop. Well, one day he gets on his horse, and he's just going to go for a ride there into the forest. And as he's riding on the trails, suddenly a snake comes out of nowhere. Well, it startled the horse. He wasn't expecting that, and the horse takes off running. And since the man wasn't really expecting that and wasn't ready for that, he just forgot all of his key words. He just started saying, oh, Jesus saves. I mean, holy, he's worthy. He's amazing. And he was just anything that come to his mind. And suddenly he realized he was going to the edge of a cliff. And this horse wasn't stopping. And he's going, oh my goodness. And he couldn't think of anything. You're holy, Lord. You're worthy, God, Lord. And then it hit him. And he said, hallelujah. And like, I mean, just put on the brakes. The horse stopped right at the edge of the cliff. The man was so excited. He said, whew, praise the Lord. You know, so many times when it comes to worshiping God, listen, maybe you're like me, but if we're not careful, I find this in my life. You can sing the song, Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery, and totally miss the mystery. It just becomes words that we're saying. And God said, no, see, that's not praise. It's got to be in here. Listen, when do we celebrate Christmas? Getting back to the whole point here. When do we celebrate Christmas? No, listen, we can celebrate every day. Just make a decision. Today, I'm going to worship. Today, I'm going to praise God. Let me give you the last one and we'll be out of here. Today, you got to make a decision to make today a day for seeking God. All throughout the Christmas story, we see those that are seeking. The wise men sought him from the east. The shepherds sought him from the field. Simeon sought him at the temple. Anna sought him there at the temple. So how do we seek him? How do we do this? Well, we seek God, first of all, when we learn God's ways. Start learning God's ways. You know, God's ways are not our ways. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. And if you live long enough on this earth, you find that God's ways are different from our ways. Our ways say if somebody says something about you, you say something about them. If someone does something to you, you do the same to them. But God's ways are not that way. God's ways say you ought to forgive those that offend you. You ought to love your enemies and do good to them that persecute you. That's opposite. You know, our ways, we say, hey, find someone that can serve you. Because if you want to be the man at work, you got to climb the corporate ladder, have people working under you. That's when you know you're a success. It's finding ways to have people serve you. How can others serve your needs? But Jesus said, it's not like that with me. It's the opposite. You need to find ways to serve others. You need to look to help others. That's the opposite way of the way that we think, but it's the way that God has established for us. You say, how do I seek God? Learn his ways. Learn God's ways. We should be looking for, what is God's way in doing this? Listen, what's God's way in making my marriage strong and remaining strong? Well, what's God's way in me teaching my children and showing them to be faithful to God? What is God's way in doing this? Proverbs chapter 3, there in your notes, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Solomon was just simply saying, learn God's ways. Learn God's ways. The psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. What is the psalmist saying? Just learn God's ways. Learn God's ways. And secondly, you seek God when you begin to follow the leading of God's will. You see, because God's ways are so vastly different than our ways and his thoughts are way beyond our thoughts, we must constantly be saying, if that's God's way, then God, where's your will for me? Because you see, though God has many ways to teach us his ways, his will for us might be different. And it is very different for us. Each and every one of us, God's will has been very different for your life than it has been for my life. For some, God's will is, I want you to go to another country, learn another language, and start telling people about me. And I want you to build a church there because people need to go to a church just like you go to a church. And they need to hear the gospel just like you were once told the gospel. And I want you to go over there and do that. For others, God's will, he begins to speak to them about his ways and how God says, I want you to teach that next generation. I want you to bring them up to know me. And he, you know, whisper somebody to somebody's ear his will and say, you know what, I want you to be a teacher. Because the next generation needs a teacher. It needs someone that can make the great truths of the Bible simple so that they can understand. And you, I've given you a lot of ability and I've given you a lot of talent. And you're someone that can relate to these kids. And I want you to be a teacher. And for others, it might be a carpenter. It might be a mechanic. It might be a pastor. I don't know. But you see, that's what seeking God is all about. In the Christmas story, constantly seeking God. Us, we can celebrate Christmas. We don't have to wait till the 25th. Don't wait till Friday. You can do it today by seeking him. I just left that story in Acts chapter 16 when the Apostle Paul, man, he wanted to go. He wanted to go to Asia. He wanted to go to Mysia, and God said, no. I want you to go to Macedonia. I have somebody else for that spot, but I need you here. That's following God's will. This morning, when do we celebrate Christmas? Listen, if I were you, I want to encourage you, celebrate it every day. And it's real simple. Just wake up, say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And because of that, I choose today to worship him. I choose today to praise him. I choose today to seek after him. And suddenly you'll find yourself in the Christmas story. You'll find yourself celebrating what Christmas is all about him. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house today. Thank you, Father, that we don't have to wait for just one day out of the year to celebrate this wonderful thing we call Christmas. No, Father, you've made it possible that every day. And yet, Father, so many times we can go throughout our year and only celebrate Christmas once. Oh, I pray that that would not be, though, our decision this year. Oh, I pray that as we think about the celebration of Christmas, that we would be reminded as we are today that it's something we can celebrate every day. I pray that you would help us to apply that truth and that reality into our lives. And that we might end this year, as difficult of a year as it's been, we can still end it with a time of celebration. Not celebrating because the year is done, but rather celebrating that you are our God. Celebrating that you sent your Son to this earth for our sin. Oh, that we might celebrate your greatness and your goodness to us. Help us, Father, this week, as we approach what is Christmas Day, that we would take time today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. Oh, Father, that we would take every day and celebrate what your word teaches. Be with us, fill us, Father, help us now to apply your word into our lives. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.